We look into the book of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter and the first verse. I would like to add my amen to the comments of appreciation our brother Tom has made toward the folks here who have labored in behalf of the conference. I would like to say as well, I much appreciate the fullness of the presence of the young people as they have adorned the doctrine of God in this conference. And we trust that the Lord will bless them. We can say we're sure that He has and He shall out of His abundance. I'd like to take up our thought with this: only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Our brother Tom just mentioned this in closing, and perhaps we can see the threefold position that we have in that life. First verse of 1 Thessalonians, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church in Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. If you were to go through Paul's epistles, and you would begin with the first chapter and the first verses, you would find that each time Paul addresses the saints, he addresses them that are in Christ, and he addresses the church as the message is delivered unto them. And so we see that the Christian in that day, as well in this day, has three realms that he dwells in. He dwells, first of all, in Christ. For that's what he must be in order to be a Christian, in the true sense of the word. In order to be a follower of Christ, he would be in Christ. Next of all, he's in the local gathering of believers. Perhaps we might address this to the saints gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus at the Omaha Gospel Chapel. It brings us into the location in Christ with the believers in Omaha. And as we walk in this position, there are various things that work upon us. And in this realm that we do walk in, we have to have some understanding of it. Many times amongst the young people and working with the young and the older as well, we quote 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away and all things become new. And many times the head is scratched. What does he mean? In Christ. Many have asked, what do you mean in Christ? Well, I'd like for a little while this afternoon for your heart to thrill with mine in what we have in Christ. I think, first of all, if you'd like to just turn over your page a little bit to the book of Ephesians and to the second chapter, and we would read there what we have in Christ. In the sixth verse. Might read the fifth verse first of all. Even when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened us together with Christ, and by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. As we begin today, I'd like you to go with me in mind's eye to the right hand of the throne of the majesty on high. Too many times as Christians we have our eyes fixed in this realm that we walk in. Too many times we forget that he says ye are kings and priests unto God. You ever walk down the street and get bumped and have that thought come to your mind? You just brushed elbows with a priest to the Most High God. I often feel it's because many who come amongst us, and sometimes we see them turn and go away after a while, They never learned the position of the priesthood of the believer. They never came into the full enjoyment of what their position is in Christ. They've never had the full sight of being accepted in the Son. Do you realize, believer, this afternoon that we are seated together with Him in the heavenly? In the realm of the world, we're here. We're in Omaha. But in Christ, we're in glory. Not to be taken from it. Sure and absolute in the hand of the Son. Covered over with the hand of the Father. That glory is represented in Moses' view of the glory of the Most High as he wanted to see it. When he got sick of the realm he was in and the results that were coming forth, and he said, Lord, let me see thy glory. Father said, all right, Moses, there's a place by me, and I'll set your feet upon the rock. I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock and cover you over with my hand. And then I'll pass by and you can look upon my back part, that you might see my glory, for no man could look upon God and live. You realize what he told Moses that day? He said, Moses, I'll put you in Jesus Christ. Where is God's right hand? What is the position that's at his right hand? I'll set you on a rock. Oh, David gives us the full assurance of who our rock is. He taught us even in the book of Corinthians, doesn't he? They all drank of that rock, and that rock was Christ. We have that position of standing in Him. And then hidden in Him, He said, I'll put you in the cleft of the rock. Oh, what a sure place. Hidden in Christ. You have that realization of that refuge that we have in Him. We read that, I believe it is in the book of Proverbs, that His name is as a high tower. A high tower is something that was for refuge. We find those cities that were built in that day had towers built around them. And as the enemy would come and war against it, they would take their hot oil and their rocks and whatever they had, and they'd dump it off the wall to destroy the enemy. Oh, but it's something else as well. A high tower is a place of offense as well as defense. And you found many times when they went out to besiege a city, when they wanted to take it, they had towers that they built, and they would put men up in the top. And they'd push it up against the wall so they could go right over the top, and they couldn't have things poured down on top of them. Thy name as a high tower. You realize, child of God, that this is our position in Christ, in a refuge, in glory, and in real strength, hidden in Him. But it's a place where we're secure as well. He said to Moses in that day, and I'll cover you over with my hand. Surely this is what the Lord Jesus tells us in the book of Gospel of John in the 10th chapter. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And this is the threefold cord that's not easily broken. And neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The second cord. And my Father who is greater than all. And no man shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. The threefold cord. It's not easily broken. Hidden in the hand of the Son and covered over with the hand of the Father. Safe and secure. In glory. Right now. Right now. You know He's given us that precious place in our position, seated together with Christ in Him, in the heavenly. Look to the book of Romans and the 8th chapter and the 1st verse. We have that wonderful promise from the Lord there to those, again, who are in Christ. They have an escape. They have a protection. They have deliverance. For he tells us there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. We have many around today who are going about and telling us that the church is going to go through the tribulation, that the church is going to see a great time of trial. I'm glad that I can see plainly from the Word of God some plain, absolute statements such as this. No condemnation, no judgment to them which are in Christ Jesus. I hope you held your finger in 1 Thessalonians in the 1st chapter and the 9th verse. On the 10th verse, listen what he says. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned unto God from idols to serve the living and the true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus whom hath delivered us from the wrath to come. Turn to God from idols. Conversion to serve the living God, consecration, delivered from the wrath to come, consummation. It's all finished as well. As far as the believer is concerned, he is already delivered in Christ. No condemnation. I wonder, child of God, do you go forth with liberty in your life? You can't go forth with liberty if there's a fear of judgment. You can't go forth in the freedom of that liberty in the Spirit if one day you're shaking in your boots at meeting a God in all His judgment and His wrath. I read in the Old Testament that the day of the Lord is a day of judgment and a day of wrath. That day I'm delivered from. In Christ. In Christ. What a wonderful assurance, a position in Him, protection from judgment as well in Him. But then look at 1 John on the 4th chapter and the 4th verse. It gives us something that we can hang on to as far as this world here and now is concerned. For surely we have our difficulties as we walk by. There's a war that we're in, and something waging against us. It says here, 1 John chapter 4, the 4th verse, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than in he that is in the world. So many times we look for liberty in our life, don't we? We look for victory. We look to be an overcomer. He says, well, greater is He that is in you than is he that is in the world. And certainly as Satan sometimes comes in like a flood, and he works against the works of God, and we do fear and tremble with him. I have a hearty respect for the devil. Make no mistake about it. I don't jump and clap my hands and think that I could ever stand against him, because I know that I couldn't. I heard of a man, a missionary one time, who said, oh God, give me just a little understanding of the devil's power. God granted his request. He told me for 2 days I was never in such misery and agony of soul and anguish of the things around about in all my lifetime, until I cried and begged until God hindered his work. There's one way that we can stand against him. One way, and that's in Christ, in his word. Oh, the Lord didn't stand up fist to fist with Satan. There in the wilderness, he answered him with his word. It is written. This is the one who is in me. He's the author, the finisher of my faith. He's the living Word. And this is my defense. This is my victory. It's through Him. And this is the way we will have victory over him that is in the world. He goes about to hinder. And only the Spirit of God is that what hinders his work today. How many times we have to bow our hearts and our knees before God, crying for deliverance, asking God to hinder this work until we hear him answer. And know that that standard is raised against the evil one. Praise God for that preservation I have in the Son from evil, from the wicked one. But you know he's given me another wonderful thing. He's given me the possibility of walking a life for him. It's found again in the book of Romans in the 8th chapter, the 2nd verse. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Where the Spirit is, there is liberty. And so now the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has given me liberty from the law of sin and death. We have just finished in the book of Romans in that 7th chapter, a chapter that often as we read it and we look at Paul and look at his desires, a desire to stand and live, and yet all the natural man creeping out, the natural man wanting its way, the natural man endeavoring to come to the forefront, endeavoring to have that throne in my heart. And yet Paul could say in that 23rd verse of that 7th chapter, the 22nd verse, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Oh, you know, there must be, first of all, that exercise of soul that we were speaking of yesterday in the inward man, of that exercise that goes on crying, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. And then that heart gets lifted up and we find that delight in the law of God, in that blessed hope of the fullness of the deliverance in Christ. What does he say? But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am! Who shall deliver me from the body of death? What a cry! How sad it would be if this next verse wasn't there. But praise God, he doesn't leave those things to our imagination. Paul could say, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. That mind that's brought in control, that mind that he says, Peter tells us to gird up the loins of your mind. Well, you know, too many times today amongst dad and mother, and then the young people, I'm going to put them second, our minds have been left to wander. They go reaching out and dwelling in everything that's around about us. And we need to gird it up. Our mind is not something to allow to be loose and to run where it will. It needs to be something that's controlled. And when it is controlled, then is when a man is at peace. That's when the fullness of the promise of the Lord is made. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Today all kinds of psychologies are being set before us. And men are sitting down and taking the philosophies of all sorts of men and delving into them and trying to twist some new philosophy and bring out some new things in the Word of God. I might shock you now, but I'm going to tell you this. This is not a day to go searching for new things. This is the day that He says, hold fast to that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. We need to take the truths of the Word of God that we have rejoiced in these years and learned and experienced for our own heart and accept them from the Lord. And not to take them and sit down and start as some of the so-called theologians are doing today and say, well, it says that all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for correction, for doctrine, for reproof, or for correction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished to all good works. And some are saying, well, I tell you, here's what that means. That means if you can find some correction in it, and you can find some reproof in it, and you can find some instruction in it, then for you it's inspired. Don't you believe it for a moment. The natural man isn't going to look for any correction. He's not going to look for instruction. He's not going to look for reproof. He said, no, God. The Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable. Don't you see, there are too many today taking the Word and trying to pick the jot and the tittle and put the comma and the whatever else it might be in some other position to change the meaning of it a little bit so that it'll suit their own heart, that we can go along in an easy, comfortable life and not be too troubled by it. We need to take the Word of God, and if we're to walk in the Spirit, and if we're to enjoy that which we have of the possibility of walking in a Christian life, then it's here. You know, there is a bridge from Romans 7 to Romans 8. We so many times talk about, boy, I'd like to get out of Romans 7 and get in Romans 8. I want to live in a little bit of that liberty and I want to enjoy it. You know where it begins? I'll tell you. Take your Bible, if you will, please, and turn to the book of Ephesians. And turn there to the 5th chapter. And I think you'll find a verse that teaches us in verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You think about that one for a while. You think if this won't take you out of that realm of where that law of the flesh has got a grasp on you and bring you out into that law of the liberty and the Spirit of being able to say all things work together for good. You know, if you really can say thank you, Lord, you'll find out what it means. I'm a character. And I'm the one that knows it. I look in the mirror day by day. And I had a heart that wasn't too thankful. And perhaps about 12 years ago, the Lord began to teach me a little bit about what that verse meant. I climbed up on a roof one time to fix my roof. And the ladder broke as I stepped off from the highest rung onto the roof, and down I went. I fell onto a hunk of concrete, half on and half off on the ground. And I laid there moaning within. What do you think came to my mind? That I was going to die? No. What I broke? No. The Spirit of God sent home the lesson that I had to learn. Giving thanks always for all things. In everything, give thanks. I had to say, Lord, I really can't say I understand fully yet, but thank you. Somehow, it changed. Oh yeah, the ribs were broken, the leg muscle was cut, the pain was there, didn't go away. But now something else was there. The law of the Spirit. joy because he spoke. And I learned. He taught a disciple. He made me a learner. Right there. Oh, I learned I shouldn't walk on bad ladders either. But I learned something far more important. There is a deliverance from all that thing of the flesh in the realm that we try to walk in that grasps us. Well, I'm going to have to push on. The second place I believe that... Well, I'd like to give you this one more thought. Colossians 3. I think this goes with it. And so perhaps I best give you this. Colossians 3. And verse 1 to 4. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Oh, in Christ, this is our prospect of the future. Our prospect of the future. This is our blessed hope. This is our joy and rejoicing that we shall know. Even as today I am accepted in the Beloved and I'm seated together with Him in the heavenlies at the right hand of the Father, this old body still groans for its redemption. It still groans for that day when it's going to be made like unto His glorious body. This old vile body to be changed. Beloved, think of it. All the things of sin that have deformed it and defiled it are taken away, and it's made a spiritual body in a spiritual realm in Christ, in His glory, forever. Hid with Christ in God, that life will appear. Corruption made incorruption, mortal made immortality. What a joy that will be. And you'll look at one another in that day, and I believe all the infirmities of the flesh will be gone. Made like unto His glorious body. Oh, we often sing, be like Jesus. This my song, in the home and in the throng, I would be like Jesus. Did you ever stop to think that He said this? As He is, so are we in this world. John's 9 little monosyllables all in a row. I'll take them with me wherever I go. As He is, so are we in this world. In Christ. In Christ. Just leave these other two thoughts with you. I'll not go into them. The second thought He gave was, first of all, in Christ. And then in the church. And the church is where we are placed by Him. He tells us He's placed the members in the body, every one of them, as it has pleased Him. Oh boy, we'd like to have something to do with that, wouldn't we? Sometime when we see that brother that gives us a little bit of difficulty, we'd like to take that finger and place it down on the foot someplace in a place where maybe he couldn't be seen. But God says He's placed the members in the body, every one of them, as it has pleased Him. You know, we need those members, those that kind of chafe against us, and we perhaps chafe against them. They teach us some of the things of fellowship. Oh yeah, in the church, that's where we have fellowship. That's where we come and we rejoice together in the communication with Him and with the believers, and we fellowship as we did this morning, in Christ, around Christ, and through the saints, until our hearts sing. We have a little bit of heaven down here. Well, we were talking about the home yesterday. Young people, can I say this ere I walk off this platform? When you go to pick your mate for life, spend a good long time on your knees before you make that decision. I trust you're praying even now. Lord, the fella or the girl for me, will you make sure that she is mine, that you point her out to me? I want your will. You know what it'll be? It'll be a little heaven on earth. But if you take in your own desire, you say, as one of old says, she pleases me well, you'll bring hell into your life. I'm sure these brethren who travel around could tell you the same thing. Day after day, we meet those who are broken in heart and in spirit because they made a mistake. An irrevocable one. God has a mate for you. Seek him or her out. The fellowship will be sweet. That's the way the fellowship of the believer should be in the church. That's what it's for. You see, in Christ is the dawn of the new life. In church is for our development as we fellowship together. And in the world is for our discipline. That's where He sends sometimes, or permits them to come. Those things that seem so sharp, those fiery darts, those thorns in the flesh, that infirmity that we'd like to shake off and say, oh, I'd be better without it. Oh, don't you believe it. I remember an old Swede. I used to go visit him. And as I went to visit him, tears would run down his eyes and he'd sit there and rub his legs and all the pain he had and he'd say, oh, Ray, I got just what the Lord wants me to have. Oh, you see, he was in Romans 8. Yes, he was. He had pain. He had joy. What a position. In Christ. In the church. And in the world, we can manifest Christ in the world.